Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City. It's Slim and Kazam, and today Slim is dressed as a watermelon.
Spoilers. In-office spoilers.
Pictures to be linked to this podcast.
That you took from like a rando iPad that you're on.
I didn't have my phone with me. It's my only option.
Can I be honest with you, Kara?
Yes.
This is one of the biggest shows I've ever done.
Is that because you're wearing a watermelon costume?
I mean, it certainly helps that I'm wearing a watermelon costume. We had a huge week. You know, this podcast, we try to give recommendations to Comixology readers for comic books. And last week, you know, something huge happened for us personally.
Yes.
We were on the top 10 iTunes with our new podcast, Comixology Conversations.
Thank you to everyone who listened.
Absolutely. We'll have a link in the show notes how you can subscribe and listen. We released the Al Ashcott podcast. We had a Michael Morrissey episode posted this Friday. If all goes according to plan, we'll have our big Delcor interview.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Guy Delcor and Jean-Luc Salat spoke to us at Comic-Con, and we've got that coming your way.
It's an amazing interview, and one of my highlights was when we got the transcript back, and one of the like bad transcriptions was me trying to speak French. That was the one that we needed to go over and fix.
It was beautiful.
We have our newsletter out. We'll have another one coming out Friday, so if you signed up kind of midweek last week, you'll be getting the one that's coming out this Friday, where we talk about other picks.
We are just as delightful in print as we are, audibly.
We really
spoilers.
Are. So hopefully people are printing these out and pasting them together in some kind of magazine format of some kind. But is there anything else?
Let's see. Scene.
We need to talk about the new releases that came out this week.
Huge. So many.
Week. You were like visibly phased. You were looking over the new release week list earlier.
And that was just with Fresh Romance 3.
Fresh Romance. Low coming out this week. Sex Crims. It's back.
Yeah. Back in style.
Ninjak. Batgirl. Black Widow. I believe the final issue of Daredevil. If not the final, the penultimate issue.
Gasp.
Yeah, that's right. Audible gasp. Thor's and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. Casanova. There was one that I don't think we talked about, which happened during San Diego Comic-Con, was we finally have Lion Forge on our platform. There was a great book that came out from Joe Casey and Jim Mahfood, a Miami Vice remix.
Let me guess, that was tops. Tops
on my list. Also, Knight Rider, Airwolf. I mean, why would you not want to read an Airwolf comic book? You ever heard of that show, Kara?
No.
Long before your time. Helicopter that fights crime.
Really?
I mean, that's the gist of it.
Like an actual helicopter?
And it screams like a wolf when it's flying.
And this got greenlit.
Yes.
This is a television show that existed.
Absolutely.
Was this during, before, or after the A-Team?
I think it was around the same era.
That makes sense to
Airwolf.
Me,
yeah, the intro music is amazing for Airwolf. I want you to YouTube that after the show.
Okay.
What did you read this week?
What did I read this week?
It's like you just bit into a delicious sandwich. Delicious comic sandwich.
That's how comics make me feel sometimes.
I'm going to isolate that audio.
I read the first issue of a book that I have been excited for ever since they announced the creative team.
Mm-hmm.
DC Bombshells. Marguerite Bennett and Marguerite Sauvage.
The Marguerites.
The Marguerite Squared. Being amazing. So if you've seen around the internets or in your comic shop or wherever the DC Bombshells line of statues and posters and so forth, where the famous female superheroes of the DC universe are redesigned to look like 1940s era pinup girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think some of the designs are super cute. And so DC was like, well, let's make a comic out of this.
Yeah.
And so we've got it digital first, comes out every Friday. Issue one dropped this past Friday. And I gave it a spin, and then I found out that you did too. So sometimes we do have comic overlap.
And it was amazing. I don't know what I was expecting, because I heard the buzz online and I didn't know what the heck the book was about. I actually didn't even know there was a statue or figure line at all. And the book takes place in the 40s, and the intro is from, you know, one of the patented 1940s newsreel man who's like voicing over the scene that you're entering.
Yep.
And it's 1940s. All the men have gone to war, so all the women are taking their jobs and keeping Gotham safe and at bay. And the main characters are Batwoman, who also plays on the women's baseball team, and Maggie Sawyer,
who also plays on another women's baseball team.
Yes. And like, on top of that, which I wasn't even doubly expecting, is that they're together in this book in the 1940s, and yeah, they're fighting crime at the same time. I thought it was amazing.
It is fantastic, and that's just issue one. I looked at the solicit for issue two. It's all about somebody you might have heard of, lives on an island, came to man's world. Wonder Woman is, wow, coming our way.
And it was funny because it's very campy, and Batwoman has these kind of campy lines that a 1940s man superhero would say, and it would, like, totally over the top, but just right, seeing Batwoman also say it is hilarious and entertaining. That's so
great. And I love the art.
The art's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I was really stunned how much I liked it. It's 99 cents. It's going to be weekly.
I'm so excited.
I don't know why I just said weekly.
Weekly. you're weak in the knees from this weekly release.
Yeah, it was a great, great first issue. I hope everybody reads it.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get Batwoman's little pointy ear baseball
cap. My God, that's a license to print money if they haven't started making those yet.
Man, I'd wear that so fast.
I would wear that. I don't give a hoot. It's a G-rated show here.
Talking about Batman, not Owlman over here.
Let's see. What else we got here? You want to go next or me?
I also read Sex Criminals. Came out finally after a long wait. And I actually read, I think it was Chip Zdarsky did a Tumblr post, like, explaining why there was a delay in the book.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, we had to, like, figure out some legal stuff and copyright stuff. And I was like, okay. And I read the issue. Worth the wait. Oh, my goodness. I see exactly what they needed to wait for on the copyright. I'm glad they did, because, oh, yes.
Really?
I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil the end. So, in this issue, we rejoin John and Susie, our sex criminals, who can stop time when they orgasm and are using this power to rob banks, but have recently discovered that there are other people who have this same superpower, yeah, that they have. And so they're trying to figure out what to do next. And so this issue is kind of like a look into the lives of some of these other people who have this ability and seeing them develop their plan. And let me tell you, the money shot at the end is just great.
What a choice of words. It was funny because I read, like, I mean, it must have had, like, doubly copyright issues, because the print variants, which I know a lot of my friends buy digital and they'll get, like, the trades of, sure, Sex Criminals. The print variants of these, like, a small portion Matt and Chip drew on.
Yep.
And they shipped them to stores. But apparently they used, like, on some of the covers, they drew characters that they don't really have the rights to, so they had to destroy, like, all thousand or several thousand of them and start over. Yeah, I had to add that to my list. It feels like it's been forever since that book came out.
I know.
Long time.
Worth the wait.
It's
been a long time coming.
Oh, my word. Let's talk about a book that I read while Kara things up some other double entendres for later in the show. Pantheon Project. I'm gonna blow your mind right now. You're
Oh my God, it's like I'm 16 again and everything is funny and dirty.
Pantheon Project. You know, you're kids, you're running around with your imagination, you're wearing costumes, you're pretending you have superpowers. Everyone does that. I still do it all the time. I do it every day. And you grow up, you drift apart from these kids, especially the one kid that really was pushing for them to be the Pantheon Project. And he has some health issues, so he can't really leave the house, and the friends drift apart. And one night, one of the kids reaches out to him on his birthday, and something strange happens. And the next day, they wake up with the powers that they had as kids, and they go to the Milton, which was he was the wizard of the team. They go to his house to ask what the heck's going on. How did this happen? And they find out that there's kind of a bat cave in his home that's really awesome. They're like secret lair, and it opens up into how did this happen and why did this happen and what do we do with our powers? We're just like high schoolers with superpowers now. What the heck are we supposed to do? And it was great. I loved the first issue. The second issue, I kept going because the third issue, I think, is coming out today, three or four. There's a new issue out today of Pantheon Project, so I was able to go back, and it was very entertaining. It was funny. The art was great. So, you know, picture yourself in high school. You have the superpowers that you imagined when you were kids with your friends. What the heck happens next?
Or, you know, as a teenager who liked superhero comics, so things that you were imagining you could do. Yes,
your superhero name was Kazam, maybe, who knows? So if you wanted to try this book, I highly recommend it. We actually, you know, we spoke with the creators of Pantheon. You know, they're great people. They want to spread the word of the Pantheon Project. If you want to get the first issue for free, you can at comixology.com/redeem with the code PROJECTPOD, PROJECTPOD, at comixology.com/redeem, and get it for free. I'm willing to bet that you buy the next issue. That's a bet. That's a Vince McMahon guarantee. Vince McMahon has never had a guarantee fail.
What?
On WWE.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't understand this reference, so I'm going to assume it's either about wrestling or Tom Cruise.
Usually a safe bet to make. What else did I read? I read Southern Bastards 10 came out from Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. One of the best books that Image is putting out right now in this issue. You know, the last arc talked about Boss, the coach of the football team, and this issue now switches to kind of one of his cronies, Esau, and his life. And there's a religious man in town that decides that he needs to show the light to Esau and, you know, show his worth. And Esau pulls this guy around, and Esau carries him around town for the day to show like a day in the life of Esau. And it's obviously just horrifying what this guy does every day. He's a terrible person, but it shows another shade of this town that the Jasons have built in Southern Bastards, and it's just amazing. There's actually one of the highlight of the issue for me was there's a variant cover involving the Confederate flag, and Jason Latour from the South writes a very passionate 2-page letter about what the flag meant to him growing up and what it means now. It was amazing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend just to make sure that you read the last 2 pages of the book.
It's really definitely on my top list.
Absolutely. One of the best books out there. What else you got? You got anything else?
We have so many letters this
week. Oh my
gosh. And I am so excited to dive into them.
Let's get into it right now.
Because we have a lot of comic recommendations coming your way right now.
Letters at comixology.com. You know, the letter, you know, we have an intern manning the letter mailbox. It's lighting up right now. I made that up. I'm sorry.
You are wearing a watermelon suit. I don't really think anything you say right now is good.
All right, here we go. From Jamie. Hello, esteemed comixologist. Since first listening to your podcast about 4 months ago, I've been eagerly awaiting every new episode with a Christmas morning-like anticipation that rivals that of Ralphie.
Oh.
That's a reference to a Christmas Story movie.
I am aware of
maybe
that
you've
one,
seen.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's a safe bet that I wouldn't have seen it, though.
I love the perfect Colombian blend of new submit offerings, major ongoing titles, and indie up-and-comers. Kazam's excitement levels often cranked all the way to 11, and Slim's TMNT, MMPR-era pop culture references give me a jolt of life that a good breakfast blend just couldn't.
We're here for you.
You know? That's what it's all about right there. But it continues. So in the spirit of exploring both the excitingly new and yet refreshing reminiscent, I am requesting that you guys do a review explanation of Grant Morrison's Nameless. I have read and reread the issues that are out so far and would absolutely love somebody else's perspective on what could be going on. Keep up the amazing work, Jamie.
Jamie, for you, I read the first 4 issues of Nameless, and I think you basically sum up everything when you say, what could be going on. Because what could be going on, indeed? This book, it's about, for those of you who haven't read it, Nameless is about this alien threat coming to Earth and this like super team of scientists and maybe an occult expert have to go save the day, which, you know, sounds like a lot of stories that we've seen before, but this one is so trippy. It really explores the nature of reality and dreamscapes. Like, the first issue opens up in a dream sequence that the further you get in the story, you think, well, was it a dream? Was it real? And you find yourself questioning the narrative and your interpretation of the narrative the whole way through.
It was like the first issue was like, what's that Christopher Nolan movie with the dreams?
Inception. And,
Inception, there you go.
So it's definitely a type of comic that I personally hadn't read before or seen before. It's just like really trippy exploration of what is real. Is this guy, is our protagonist like actually fighting these aliens, or is he just dreaming about it, or
what
is he awake and is he already like one of them, or ooh,
what do you think is happening?
What I think is happening? I think...
Get into the mind of Grant Morrison.
Wow. I don't know.
Grant.
I don't know if I could do that.
It's not safe.
So far, I think that the aliens have already won, and we're like already doomed, but this is just like a Matrix-y type, no, you're really fighting the system kind of thing.
Interesting. Had you started watching that show Wayward Pines on Fox?
No.
On Hulu with Matt Dillon?
No.
You should.
Is it this kind of trippy thing?
It's trippy. It's like Twin Peaks plus Lost equals 10 episode event.
See, I haven't seen either of those things. So
it's a... I don't even want to talk to you anymore, really. Well, hopefully that helped, Jamie. I actually have read the first few issues that are out of Nameless. I really enjoy it. The first one was kind of... I think it's sometimes it's tough to read... For me, it's tough to read the first issue of like a Grant Morrison or Warren Ellis book.
I think it definitely helps to
book.
Read like multiple at the same time.
You have to like kind of set your expectation like, okay, this is the first issue to set everything up and I need to keep going because it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Let's keep this train rolling.
Yes.
From Wild Card Corsair. Subject line, obvious statement, Kara needs to watch Predator.
Really?
Hey, Slim and Kazam. First of all, thanks so much. Your podcast is so helpful for recommending comics, and I've picked up a few new favorites because of you both.
Hooray!
But I need more.
Don't we all?
I really love Ms. Marvel for many reasons, but a lot of it is the new superhero balancing home life and heroics while being somewhat of an outcast. Totally reminded me of old school Peter Parker, another favorite of mine. So do any of you have something along those lines that I might also love? Also, if you don't have the time, I love video games. Are there any comics that you love that are based on a video game?
Okay. So, if you like Ms. Marvel and Peter Parker and that kind of, you know, trying to figure everything out while being an outcast thing, I would recommend that you take a look at Silk, which I've spoken about before, but I really do enjoy it. It's about Cindy Moon, who is a real newcomer to the Marvel Universe, so there's not a lot of backstory continuity that you have to worry about. And it turns out she has the same superpowers that Peter Parker does, but she's been locked up in a bunker for 10 years for reasons. And so now she's like out in the world and she's using these glorious 90s pop culture references and like trying to figure out life in this time while also figuring out what to do with her powers and what to do with her career. And it sounds really exactly like what you're looking for. I would also have to say Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. It's maybe not so much of the outcast aspect, but it's definitely like trying to balance life versus superhero life. And it's just the funniest comic. Like, it's, I just laugh every issue.
It's a great series.
Totally delightful. In terms of video game comics, I will admit that, like, the only video game based comic that I've read, well, besides Injustice, of course, is Mass Effect. I just, you know, there's this like tension subplot between the blue chick and the main dude, and I just kept waiting for them to hook up, and they did not hook up, spoilers, and it was just so frustrating that they like didn't start making out on this spaceship or wherever they were. I've never played the Mass Effect game, so I don't know like how accurate any of this was, but like, come on.
God, sex criminals must be such a release for you. I think the only video game comic book that comes to mind for me is the Halo one by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, because that came out, I think, at the height of Halo 2 or 3 or in between 2 and 3. Mm. And it was like the biggest S ever. And it was interesting because that story doesn't really follow Master Chief around. It follows around these other kind of B characters, like how they live in this world and all this stuff. Let's see. This comes from Omar Morales. Do you guys ever carve out a few minutes to spotlight indies that use Comixology Submit? I've been campaigning Comixology to allow for some paid, affordable ads for the indie publishers on the site to no avail. They finally put in a program to reduce sale prices, but there's no way of knowing how the titles are promoted and at what price. Thanks for the time. Love the show. And let's see, creator, publisher of Crusader, Agent of the Vatican. Interesting. Growing up a Catholic like myself, that sounds intriguing to me. Altar server of the year.
In NBD. Your watermelon costume.
NBD.
In your watermelon costume at the altar.
I think that would be sacrilegious. I would be kicked out. The answer to the first question, yes, we always carve out time for the submit books as much as we can. Usually every episode we'll talk about a submit book, sometimes two or three times. So yeah. if you want to check out anything specific, go back into our archives. Regarding ads in submit books, just it's not something we do. We don't really have ads in any book, so it's not something we have on Comixology. But you know, I know some people. I'll put in your feedback. Who knows?
Who does know?
You know. Let's see. We have one more letter. This comes from Malfoy 95. Hey guys. What are your recommendations for the best comics, both in story and presentation, in your native, patented, that might be patent pending, guided view format? And that comes from Malfoy.
Listen, Malfoy, I know your father will undoubtedly hear of this, but we have a killer list for you right now. And if you like the guided view technology taking you in a more dynamic cinematic experience for reading your comics. Mm-hmm. You want to shake it up a little bit?
Shake it up.
Let's talk about Daredevil. Thoughts on Daredevil?
Love him.
Well, you know, the guided view native version.
Oh, I thought you just meant in general. He's obviously a great guy. The guided view native one was really cool because I do believe it was Mark Waid and Peter Krause who were working on Insufferable at the time. And this was when he was moving back to San Francisco. So it was really cool to see Peter do some really awesome artistic things in the Guided View native format, which maybe you're familiar with Guided View. You know, we take you panel to panel on mobile device or your full screen device, and we kind of guide you. But then we'd go an extra step further where we can add in speech bubbles and
layered panels,
transitions. It's really cool. It's not so in your face like a motion comic. You control the pace.
Right.
Loved it.
So tell us about Deadpool.
Oh boy. You know, there's a lot of Deadpool out there. He's got a movie coming out. Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Sexy Ryan Reynolds. And then you have a ton of comics. Some people don't care for Deadpool, while the opposite effect, people are just addicted to him. I kind of grew up on Deadpool. I loved him, and I kind of waned off of him. But this Guided View Native book, The Gauntlet, I do believe it's called, is hilarious. And I think Jerry Duggan writes it. It's really funny. And Guided View Native, it works. Guided View Native, it feels like it's made for comedic books too, it just translates so well
because the timing,
comedic timing aspect and the writing is so well done in this book that it's a treat to read. Even if you don't like Daredevil, you're gonna think this book is hilarious. It's great.
Lovely. I want to recommend Motorcycle Samurai, the Guide of View Native stuff we have for that series, because that was the first Guide of View Native book that I read where I was just like blown away by the special effects, like what you could do with the format. Like there's this one scene where you're in the desert with all these like motorcycle riders and the samurai, and the comic, when you swipe, it takes you on like a scanning view of the desert, and then it has you like look back and there's something there that wasn't there before, and it's so cool. I also want to bring up Atomic Robo Two-Fisted Tales. Is just next level storytelling using this format. You don't need to know anything about Atomic Robo to jump right in with that one.
He's a robot. Story. He's a super intelligent.
Done.
He's like Indiana Jones meets robot meets wears amazing khakis and boots.
Yeah.
You know?
And of course, we would be remiss for not mentioning Batman 66. If you ever have seen any of the episodes of the Batman TV series from the 60s starring Adam West.
Legend.
Then this is the book for you. It's that universe revisited in glorious high definition.
Yeah, and I think every other story in Batman 66 is Guide of View Native, so if you're curious, you can go to click on a book in the store, and we'll have like a little GVN badge to show that it's Guide of View Native. And I do want to call out Riley Brown specifically, who did Deadpool the Gauntlet, because he really, you know, kicked off a lot of this stuff, or he helped a lot with a book called Power Play, which kind of showed what Guide of View Native could do like a while back. And it was really cool to see him get work on Deadpool, because he really helped pioneer that kind of storytelling. And there you have it, Malfoy.
Yeah.
What a show.
This is beautiful. I will forever treasure the memory of you sitting there recording this in your watermelon suit.
And don't forget, too, that our show notes include like an easy-to-find list of every book that we talked about on our website. So if you want to, you know, if you're going to buy these books, do try and click that link in the show notes, because we, you know, Kara makes those lists for you. You know, she does that all love.
So much love. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check out our Comixology Conversations podcast, where we interview top creators in the industry to get the inside look at their books.
Legends.
And yes, legends all. And we've got our newsletter coming out Friday, which you should be excited for.
Sign up on the show notes. We'll have a button for it.
Yeah. Enjoy your comics. And maybe next week, Matt will also be wearing a watermelon suit. Who knows?
Goodbye. We can only hope.
You're dressed like a watermelon.